Greetings, this is James Gilliland with As You Wish Talk Radio. It's great to be on the show today. We've got some crazy stuff going on right now, so if you want to help out and get involved in that, we're going to put the information up on the website at eseti.org and also have it up on the show. But if you go to gofundme.com and just type in eseti, you can check out what's going on. We're raising money to deal with legal fees. We've got some situations going on here where we've had ongoing conferences and, you know, the radio shows and all of these things that have been serving the community for about, 25 years now, at eSETI. And the whole community is totally behind us. They love what we're doing here. You know, it's brought a lot of commerce to the town, which was a ghost town. But it seems our illustrious county has decided to be a little bit Nazi on the situation. So, but anyway, we're having to get lawyers and do legal proceedings and things like that because they feel that we don't have the right to free speech, we don't have the right to assembly, we don't have the right to do any kind of our spiritual practices here at the ranch, and quite a few other things that they believe we don't have the right to do. So anyway, there's a long history of this happening in the valley, and we're finally taking a stand and saying enough's enough. And it looks really good on our behalf, basically. But we are having to fork out a lot of money for legal fees. So any assistance we can get on that, we'd greatly appreciate it. But, just go to www.gofundme.com and type in eSETI. And we should pop up there if you want to help out with that experience. And I can't thank the people. We just put this up, and it's going like gangbusters. People are really jumping in and helping out. So it's nice to know that there is support out there. And when you carry this torch, you know, for 25 years, sometimes you feel like you're the only one out there. And it is so nice to see there are a lot of people that have really love what's happening here and are jumping in to help out. So enough with that. I want to welcome our guest on the show. And we've got Dr. Richard Sauter on the show. And, you know, he also has been a torch carrier for a long time out there and really paid the price for it several times. So, he was the first person to systematically popularize the mysterious topic of underground and underwater bases and tunnels. In addition to his latest book, Hidden in Plain Sight, he's the author of four other books and major reports. The underground bestseller, Underground Bases and Tunnels, What is the Government Trying to Hide?, which represents his first work on the underground bases issue. The Esoteric Kundalini Tales, which deals with paranormal and mind control themes, underwater and underground bases, which expands the scope of his earlier work to include military plans and manned bases and tunnels beneath the sea floor. He also has the Sauter Report, Notes from the Underground. And he has a blog if you want to check it out. It's it's eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com/2011/03/fuk-u-shima.html. And that's on the site too. So if you want to click on that and get his latest blog. But enough being said, Richard, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, James. I'm glad to be with you, and I'm sorry to hear about your problems with the county, but at the same time, I'm not surprised. There's a real division in humanity at this time between those who want to move in a creative, positive, more spiritual direction and those who really want to remain in a very ignorant and dark condition. And that's just the way it is. It seems the human race is divided right down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's this woman just sent me an email. I thought it was really funny, but she talked about it kind of went, you know, Bob noticed the object getting closer and closer and closer, getting and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and finally it struck him that it was a baseball, you know. So it's like, you know, and it kind of adds up what's going on right now. When I heard that, I started laughing so hard. It's like people are just staring at this, what's unfolding. It's in their face. They can't miss it. It's coming right at them. And by the time they figure out what it is, it's going to hit them right between the eyes, you know, and that seems to be where we're going.
Well, you know, my latest book is actually the Richard Sauer Briefing, available mm-hmm. from Amazon.com. And I wrote that book specifically for this time and specifically for people who are in the situation you just described. They're starting to wake up, or maybe they're already a little bit awake, but kind of groggy. Mm-hmm. And they suddenly realize, hey, things are changing. They're not like they used to be, or at least they have a different perception of the way things are. And they're looking for answers. They're searching for answers. They're trying to figure things out. And I wrote the Richard Sauer Briefing as a kind of a little help manual for people to come up to speed fast that haven't been doing a lot of reading over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. And it deals with a variety of different subjects, such as global mind control, the shadow government, the black budget, the 9/11 false flag attacks, secret underground and undersea bases, the secret space program, UFOs and the ET cover-up, the hidden history of this planet and human race, our cataclysmic history. You know, there's quite a history on this planet of great cataclysm, geological upheaval in past eras. And we really don't learn about that in mainstream culture and our mainstream history. However, it is a reality. There have been repeated tremendous cataclysms in our past history, and the human race is in an amnesiac condition. We, as a global society, for whatever reason, either don't remember these events or have made it a concerted effort to not remember them, so we're in a massive group state of denial about that and so many other things. And so I write about these various issues. It's not a long book. It's something that you could read in easily in one or two sittings. And for people who don't have a lot of time to read but would like to kind of get a feel for what's going on and how the world situation came to be the way it is, this would be one useful book that you could read if you don't have a lot of time and you're trying to figure things out but are finding it heavy going. This book can cut through a lot of the weeds for you fast and kind of help you to see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know the fascination with the, a lot of people are definitely fascinated with the underground bases, and there's so many people saying, why are they, you know, absconding with trillions of our dollars to build these massive underground bases?
Yeah, well, that's the question, isn't it? And I don't think the money is going only for underground bases, though there's no doubt some of it is. Mm-hmm. It's also going for undersea installations, for the secret space program or programs. It would be going for other things, such as, in my view, probably colonies on the moon and on Mars, or at least bases of some size and sophistication. Mm-hmm. I strongly suspect there are other programs, such as very advanced genetic engineering programs, supercomputing research, really cutting-edge stuff. Some of the things I've been told and have seen indicate to me that the computers that are the most sophisticated, number one, are not available or revealed to the public, and number two, they would be digital intelligences but self-aware, with a very extremely high degree of intelligence that would be able to interface directly mind to mind with at least some of their programmers and other personnel who work with them. Mm-hmm. So there's been an entirely new generation of technology that's been developed out of the public eye, albeit with trillions of dollars of public money. So those are some of the places and some of the types of projects that the money is going to. And then some of it, frankly, I couldn't tell you, James. We're living in a very strange time, a very turbulent, chaotic time. So much is kept secret, so much is hidden from the public at large that we simply don't know where a lot of these funds are going. But the fact that there's so many lies surrounding them clearly means that they're going to secret purposes, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I just listened to an interview with, I think it was Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy. They were talking about one of their inside guys who said that they had, you know, artificial intelligence that could interface with people and actually put thoughts in your head. It's like a technological voodoo. And I know Nick Bajic has talked about this a lot, and I think his name is Dr. Deagle, I'm not sure. But what they've been saying is that they've put up satellites that are about the size of a bus that can actually read a dime and tell you, you know, what year it is, and they can look into your house through an infrared signature and see a picture of you walking around doing whatever you're doing about your daily business or nightly business. And they can also project a thought into your head, and you wouldn't even know it wasn't your thought, or a voice into your head, and you wouldn't even know, you know, where this came from. You know, the capabilities that they have now are just mind-boggling, and there seems to be a lot of whistleblowers and people coming out now and talking about these technologies, and even FBI people that are saying, hey, this is wrong what they're doing, and it's just this extreme misuse of technology.
Well, yes. Electronic technology has advanced by leaps and bounds over the past, well, really century. Basically, that we've had modern electronic technology starting in the late 19th century coming forward, and there's been a nonstop succession of inventions, patents, breakthroughs, etc. Every year, the technology gets more advanced, more sophisticated, and this whole realm of so-called artificial telepathy is, of course, one of the means of electronic mind control. Indeed, by using pulsed microwave transmitters, you can beam an intelligible signal right into a human mind, and people will hear a voice or have their thoughts influenced remotely by electronic means. So these capabilities do exist. They've been around for many years. And I couldn't say that these are good developments, because the agencies, my understanding, I've read a fair amount of mind control literature, and my understanding is that this is so far advanced that it's virtually like science fiction.
Yeah, they seem to be, you know, 50 to 100, even more than that, years ahead of us in these technologies. Now, I know
this is something Cliff High has been talking about, and some other researchers. I think maybe Richard Dolan has raised this issue in one or more of his recent books. And I think there have been some others, but this idea that in this clandestine world of multi-trillion dollar black budget funding, where you have whole research laboratories full of PhD engineers and chemists and physicists and so forth working on cutting-edge technology, they have made such breakthroughs in the technical realm that really the type of machinery and society that they have developed within these black budget laboratories and underground and undersea installations, and it seems off-planet basis as well, that it's really another civilization. It has its roots in the civilization in which we live, but it has set itself largely apart from us. It needs us, but it has separated itself from us. And it is so far advanced, as you observe, that literally, technologically, scientifically, from an engineering standpoint, it is a different culture, a different society. And much of it would be unrecognizable to us were we to stumble into one of these bases or into one of these clandestine or secret laboratories.
Mm-hmm. It does, from my information now, on just a real grassroots level, I know scientists that actually worked in some of those projects and have talked to them, and it's weird. They come up here and they just spill the beans. It's like this is confession for them or something. And I can't really give their names. I don't want to get them into trouble, but they've informed me that, you know, we definitely have anti-gravity, we have counter-gravity, we have, you know, time-jumping capabilities, and, you know, unbelievable technologies right now. And the sad thing about it is you think about this, okay, with this anti-gravity technology, we would be having plane crashes. That just wouldn't happen. You know, we wouldn't have astronauts going up on a big firecracker and exploding into space. And it just goes on and on and on. You know, we wouldn't have nuclear reactors exploding and poisoning, you know, the entire planet. None of these things would be happening if they were to allow this new technology to come out. And we'd also be free. I mean, you take away all of your expenses that go towards just heating, cooking, transportation, everything else. It's amazing how free people would be to, you know, become creative, get educated, things of that nature. And I'm just amazed that it's actually gone on this long.
Well, you know, when I started my research on the underground basis issue, and this is back in L.A., 1990s. In the early 1990s, I culled through as much technical literature and documentation as I could, including from the federal research laboratories and the various federal agencies that issued technical reports. I started all the way back in the late 1930s and came up to the modern era. I noticed that I believe starting about in the mid to late 1940s and moving up into the 1950s, that there was a good deal of research, fundamental engineering and scientific research on gravity and electrogravity and electrohydrodynamics. Starting about in the mid 1950s, the published literature on that, the scientific papers and engineering studies, etc., started to dry up and go away. And by the time my document search moved into the 1960s, I found very little, if any, of those types of documents and articles and reports. So it looks to me like somewhere in the 50s, long about in the mid-1950s, there was some kind of breakthrough in this area with electrogravitics and gravity and electrohydrodynamics, and the technology or technologies were taken black into the clandestine realm, into the black budget realm, into the world secret classified projects and research, there to be perfected and operationalized, because we certainly, as you observe, don't see this technology in our daily lives. But it is in use. That's what I've been told. I believe what I've been told is true based on my research and some of the things that I have seen and observed. So, yeah, why hasn't this been made available? Because there is a huge control mechanism, a huge control game that's going on this planet. And I write about this in my blog entry, and also to a large degree in the Richard Sauter briefing. There is kind of really a matrix that has clamped down a very violent and ruthless control on this entire planet, and whoever or whatever it is and wherever it came from, it absolutely does not want the human race to get ahead in any meaningful way. It wants to keep people dumbed down, stupid, poor, and oppressed. It looks like it wants to kill the planet because we keep having so-called industrial accidents that are highly dangerous to life and to limb, not only from a human perspective, but to other life forms on this planet, of course. And we look at the ongoing crisis at the nuclear reactors in Japan, the ongoing crisis at the site of the British Petroleum Deepwater Horizon well, offshore well, petroleum well blowout in the Gulf of Mexico a year ago, and on and on. We've seen any number of these types of incidents, the incident at Chernobyl back in the 1980s, and other examples could be adduced and cited. But we have a problem, and it looks like, for whatever reason, there is an agenda that keeps expressing itself, and it's very destructive. It's very deadly. It keeps popping up again and again and again. And until we as a race, so to speak, upwise, not uprise with an R, but upwise with a W. In other words, get wiser, get a lot more street savvy, become more spiritual, become more deeply insightful, gain keener understanding of our own nature, both inner and outer, and how we relate to the planet and to others. Unless we do all of that and more, we're toast, because the trajectory of events on this planet right now is not encouraging. And unless enough members of the human race, unless a large enough percentage of humanity decides enough, we can do better and we will do better. Unless that happens, our future is pretty bleak.
Yeah, it's sure looking that way. I was watching the Gulf oil thing and how actually BP took over our military and even our president and everybody and was calling the shots there. It was amazing. And they're still saying, oh, everything's cleaned up, nothing to worry about, you know, keep shopping, you know, nothing to see here, folks. They're running that program, but I'm getting tons of emails from people that have severe upper respiratory problems. They can hardly breathe. They've got sores breaking out all over their bodies. You know, they're infected with things that they've never even seen before that have probably come out of the core exit and some of the other bacteria they used, which are actually attacking carbon-based life forms, which is what we are, you know? So it's just unbelievable what, you know, I've always said there's a scientific oligarchy that is running things right now, and they're working for a group, you know, above that, which is the heads of the mega corporations, you might say. And then above that, you know, whatever you want to call the guys, the New World Order or whatever else, I think they have totally sold their souls to, you know, through dark rituals and things like that, to some very demonic or reptilian or whatever you want to say forces that, because as you were saying, whoever is running the show here has absolutely no respect for humanity or the earth, and it seems like they want the majority of us dead.
Well, they are dangerous beings on the loose, and they kill without remorse or compunction. In fact, the evidence would suggest that they take great joy and satisfaction in killing, and not only in killing human beings, but in killing most anything in general. They do not like biological life. They seem hell-bent, and I use that word of expression advisedly, they seem hell-bent on a program of death, destruction, and ruination of this planet and virtually every life form on it. you would think they would have some regard, at least for their own life and the lives of their family members. But it appears that's not the case either.
Mm-mm. Yeah, somebody asked me about that. Go ahead. Well, I'll go ahead. Somebody asked me about that. They said, well, let's take the chemtrails for an example. You know, they're spraying massive amounts of barium, aluminum, and strontium, and, you know, extremely high levels, and it's found in the snowpack. So the only way it could get there is from the plains and the chemtrails. And so, I mean, it's 6,000 times over the hazardous, you know, amounts necessary for EPA to step in. But they aren't, you know, they aren't doing anything. But you look at that and everybody goes, well, that's nonsense because they would be spraying themselves. And I said, you would be surprised what people will do for duty and country. All they have to be told is some cover story. And they will go and exterminate the whole planet, you know, under some God and country or orders, or they're totally brainwashed, or, you know, these planes could be under robotic control. Who knows? But whoever's given the order to do this is our total psychopaths. And I don't care what excuse they can give us, that this is for our safety and so we can see planes coming over the horizon. I've heard all the stories. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, aluminum is a poison and barium is a poison. They're all poisons and they have very serious side effects on the human body. And strontium, I mean, you'd think they would cut back on the strontium, being that we already have this huge nuclear reactor melting down, but no, they seem to think that needs to be in the air as well.
No, they really don't care about the well-being of most all of humanity. I can't explain it. I do believe some of them, and maybe a lot of them, and maybe almost all of them, are under some form of mind control. If only, as you observe, heavy nationalistic, so-called patriotic propaganda. And you're right. There are a surprising number of people who will come under the influence of that propaganda. They're really swayed by it, and will do their utmost to carry out the nationalistic, patriotic duty that they perceive as theirs. Mm-hmm. It's all just a... My observation would basically be unprintable. I don't think you can say it on the radio. It's all very calculated, and I do agree with you that the ultimate puppet masters, if you will, are certainly psychopaths. I don't even know if they are human in the normal sense, in that they don't have any feelings of empathy or compassion or sympathy. Mm-hmm. They appear not even to be logical thinkers. Logically, if you are living on a planet and breathing the gases in its atmosphere, which is an enclosed gas envelope, then any substances sprayed into that atmosphere, you logically would also breathe in. And if those substances are poisonous, then they would also harm your physical health. So you would think the people behind this program, presumably being earthbound air breathers, would at least be concerned about their own well-being. But no, they seem to take no notice of that and to not be concerned in the slightest. So they are very strange, very weird. Yeah. Very highly dangerous beings. I'm not sure they are all even human, James, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't move in those circles.
Yeah, I wish I didn't, to be honest with you, because I've seen some things and have, you know, confronted some of these energies, and they're definitely not, they're not fun and they're not friendly, put it that way, and they, like you're saying, they aren't human. But luckily there are other higher beings that kind of cover your back now and then, or we wouldn't be here. I know with the work that you've been doing, I'm sure you've got some major help, you know, in the unseen, kind of keeping an eye on things, or you probably wouldn't be on this show right now.
Yeah, I believe I do have friends and some really good ones, and they're anonymous. There have been times when I felt like I was getting some help. I do believe, based on what I've been told over the years, that there are at least some people on the inside of these highly compartmentalized clandestine programs and projects who are bothered at a deep level, perhaps at a soul level even, by some of the things that they see or know about or learned about or have been asked to do. I don't know what kind of hold they would have on people who get into these programs, but I'm prepared to believe that given the utmost seriousness with which these compartmentalized programs operate, that conceivably your family would be in jeopardy, for example, if you broke ranks with the culture of silence. Mm-hmm. Or your house might get burned down, or you might get killed, or, you know, on and on. I think the penalties must be very severe for speaking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a lot of people that have disappeared that have, you know, blown the whistle on some of the most darkest underground facilities that are going on. And I know, I think his name was Barry something. I can't remember. He was on the Veritas show. And he came out and was talking about what was going on over in England and some of the deep bases there. And it was such a dark, ugly story. And it did include non-human beings and a lot of genetic manipulation and torture and human experimentation, everything. And they pretty much snagged him, and he can't even remember anything he ever talked about. It was sad because he came back after, I think, 4 hours of spilling the beans on this whole mess. He couldn't even remember Mel or being on the show or anything he said. He said he didn't even know who his family was, and I guess they came and snagged him and used whatever mind wiping abilities they have on him, and the guy doesn't even know who he is, his family is, or he doesn't remember anything at all.
I've had the good fortune to never work for any of these agencies. I've never worked in any of the compartmentalized programs, nor have I desired to. My research certainly suggests that there are things going on underground mm-hmm. that people would just be shocked by and astonished if they knew about it. I strongly suspect, I mean, there are indications that there is human experimentation going on underground. It's just, I don't know what to do about that, James. I don't know what we can do about it. I feel so helpless when I think about it. Mm-hmm. I do know that there are large numbers of people that disappear on this planet every year. I don't know the true number because no one has statistics for this, but it's clear from the research I've done that thousands in the United States alone, thousands and thousands of people disappear every year. Now we're talking about young children, adolescents, teenagers, young adults, people in the prime of life, as well as elderly people. It's across the board, all age groups, both sexes, various nationalities and ethnic groups. What all of these people have in common is that they just vanish. It happens every year. It's been going on for years and years. Without being able to prove it, I would surmise that at least a certain percentage of these people are being taken into underground bases, and I don't believe that their fate there would be a pleasant one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does seem to be the odd. Same story we hear over and over.
I just feel terrible about that, but early on in my research, I began getting the feeling that that was going on. And I actually asked one of my sources about that one time when we were talking. And I said, what about, you know, all of these missing people? Are any of them taken underground and used as, you know, experimental subjects in, you know, genetic engineering experiments or something like that? And the response I got was, well, you know, if so, it's highly doubtful that they would, that any of them would be permitted to live. In other words, when the experiment was over, most likely they would just be killed. They couldn't be permitted to go back topside and spill the beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very sad. I know there are a lot of whistleblowers coming out that are involved in those underground bases, and they seem to be letting it out, you know, all over the planet right now. And to me, it's probably one of the sickest things happening on this planet. And you know, the thing is, I know I feel the same way you do.
James, it has not gone mainstream yet.
Yeah.
Even with my work, it hasn't gone mainstream. You know, I've been on a few television shows. I'll be on Coast to Coast AM from time to time. But it hasn't gone mainstream in the sense that people like me are not treated seriously by the mainstream news media. We're not given serious airtime, serious ink in news magazines and newspapers.
No.
And that's just the way it is. So that remains, and will, I'm sure, to the end, because the mainstream news media are part of the cover-up of these mm-hmm. programs. If the mainstream news media were really doing investigative reporting, then a lot of these things would be publicized already and would be exposed to the light of day. But that's not happening. The major networks, radio, TV, the major news websites, the mainstream newspapers and news magazines and so forth are very much a part of covering these things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that myself. It's unbelievable how they're either going to spin it or they're not going to cover it at all, or they're going to try to turn you into some kind of a nutcase or whatever. You know, they do the program is dismiss, discredit, character assassinate, and if you're still hanging around, then they just get rid of you altogether. But it's amazing, you know, the way that whole thing operates. And you know what I've noticed lately,
in my case I'm tenacious, and so are you. I have faced some obstacles over the years, but I've persevered, and in spite of everything, I have managed to research, write, and publish, you know, a number of books that are available for those who are interested to purchase and read, and upwise in that sense, increase their information level, gain a new degree of understanding of what's happening on this world and under this world, beneath the surface, beneath the ocean, as well as beneath solid Earth. So, you know, problems come in life. There are barriers and roadblocks that arise from time to time. And my experience is, no matter what happens, you persevere and keep going. If you're hanging on by your fingernails, just keep hanging on. And don't let go. Just never give up. And that's a secret, James.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know exactly what you're saying. That's one thing I've done. People think I'm nuts, you know, because I probably they think you're nuts, too, for jumping fences at nuclear places and things like that. But I just meet it head on and just go, this is not right. You know, this is seriously wrong. It's not in the highest and best good of humanity and the Earth. It's a very dangerous game that you're playing, and it's time that, you know, people start, you know, putting a little bit of attention on this game, because what do we learn from Gulf Oil? Basically that, you know, our government lied to us all the way through that, completely. Also, too, the government really isn't our government. We learned that. We also learned they own the media, and they controlled that whole thing. And they own the military. You know, BP was telling the military what to do down there. So it's like, and then we have the same thing, you know, happening at Fukushima, the exact same thing. And I think that's why these big events have to happen, because they have to be a serious slap in the face and affect everybody personally before people get off their butt and actually do something.
Yeah, most people are intellectually lazy. Most people are, I would say, morally ambivalent. They're neither, as Jesus observed 2,000 years ago, they're neither hot nor cold. They're trying to give all things to all people. They don't. Most people have never taken a courageous personal stand at, if necessary, at personal cost on any issue. And so, in order to get them engaged, as you observe, it seems that it does take a 2x4 right between the eyes to say, "Look here." You know, snap out of it. Life is serious business. Turn off the TV, take the remote, turn off the TV, put down that bag of potato chips, set down a can of beer, put down the bottle of Prozac pills, and listen up. You're a human being. You have rights and liberties, yes, but you also have responsibilities. And it's time that you start acting like a responsible adult. Now, three times in my life, I've gone over the security fence at nuclear missile silos in the continental United States. Back in 1981, at a silo in central Arkansas, and then the later that year, the next year, I don't remember exactly. I think it was 82. I went over the fence onto a nuclear missile silo in Missouri. To stage nonviolent peace demonstrations. And then last year, I did the same thing at a nuclear missile silo in North Dakota. And I was arrested, jailed, and criminally tried for all of these demonstrations. And I spent over a year and a half of my life incarcerated in a dozen different jails and prisons in five different states. In the United States. So, yes, I did pay a price for that. I now have a police record which follows me everywhere I go. And of course, you know, when you have a police record, life becomes more difficult, becomes a lot more difficult. And you're really marginalized in a lot of ways, socially and financially. But, you know what? I don't regret doing those things. I'm glad I went over the fence at the nuclear missile silo. In terms of people who do that, you can almost count the people who do that on the fingers of one or two hands. I'm literally one in a million. I'm a one in a million kind of person, because the vast majority of people on this planet, 99.99% of the human population, would never consider doing something like that. And that is why we are in the situation we are, because so many of us for so long have, you know, just gone along to get along, have not protested, haven't raised any waves, haven't disagreed with anything, haven't objected, have just shut up and been quiet in the face of tremendous oppression and great evil and exploitation. And now we're paying a price for that, a very heavy price. We will continue to pay a heavy price, and even heavier, because of that karmic debt, that karmic load that must be balanced if we're going to progress. If we are, as a species, to learn anything, the lesson is, look, you have responsibilities, and you have ignored your responsibilities. You've shirked them. You've supported warfare. You've turned your backs on the suffering of your fellow human beings. Even worse, you have subsidized the agencies with your tax money, such as the Pentagon, that has gone forth in your name and slaughtered millions of people in countries all over the planet. Meanwhile, you were silent. You looked on, observed all of that in silence, even approval in many cases. And so the karma of a country like the United States is very dark and very heavy. And all I can say is a karmic harvest is coming, because karma is always balanced. It's a universal equation. Dark karma is always balanced. It's always paid in kind, one for one. So very heavy karmic, shall we say, settling of the accounts is in the future of the United States. And you know what? The American people have brought it on themselves. I, Richard Souter, am not going to do anything. To them, I wish them well. However, it's kind of, you know, that the what's coming is baked in the cake at this point.
Yeah.
I, three times at great risk, went out on nuclear missile silos in three different states of the United States over a period of three decades and said, you know what, this is a really bad idea. We need to stop this. This is criminal. It's counterproductive. It's evil, everything else you can think of. And I said this clearly and forthrightly. I was mistreated. I was handcuffed, arrested, jailed, threatened, jeered, scuffed at. People sneered at me, mocked me, threatened me. So all I can say is the United States has built up a lot of negative, heavy, dark, evil karma. And karma is always balanced. It's a universal law. If you don't want to have nasty, vile, evil things happen to you, then don't do them to other people. That's the essence of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you don't want to be bombed, if you don't want to be killed, if you don't want to be irradiated by radioactive contamination, then you know what, James? Don't do those things to other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I brought that up, and I got some people very, very pissed off at me. I said, you know, you really think about it in the bigger scheme of things, we did drop two nuclear bombs on Japan, and now all that nuclear energy is coming back and flooding, you know, through the jet streams and coming right back down on America.
Well, it's an American, that's right, and it's an American company that designed those reactors. General Electric designed those reactors, and General Electric actually built three of those reactors. So you have an American company that is heavily responsible for what's happening, because the reactor design is dangerous, it's unsafe, it's deficient, it's actually shoddy, you could say. Mm-hmm. And the company, knowing this has been known for decades, for a long, long time, built these reactors and has not objected to their operation for, I think, a little over 40 years. So there you go. General Electric is an American company. It's the second largest company in the world. So there's some American karma right there, some Fortune 500 karma.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's so clear that these mega corporations are basically soulless, and all they're looking at is profit at any expense, with no karmic consequences or the next generations or anything else. They just throw all that to the wind and go after it. And it seems to me what we're seeing, the height of this reckless greed and just unbridled lust for power and wealth, that it's at this epic moment right now where we're seeing all of it come right to a head. You know, with the oil companies, with the nuclear companies, I'm sure we're probably going to have some other things happening here, you know, around the corner, where they've all just tried to get that last little, squeeze that last little buck out, and, you know, the hell with humanity and the earth. And now we're getting this huge lesson in this, and I'm just wondering how much more the people are going to take, you know, the banksters and the oil companies and the and all these mega corporations and what they've done, you know, to even just the economy. You know, people are losing their houses, their jobs, their families, they're breaking up, it's just unbelievable the greed factor going on right now.
Well, yes, it is. And as you observe, Everything that I see, my reading, my studies, my visions, the conversations I've had with other researchers and commentators, strongly indicates to me that this next period, say, as much as 15 years, say, running up to about 2025, is going to just be full of chaos, cataclysm, upheaval, turmoil, confusion of every description from A to Z, everything that you can imagine, and some things that you can't imagine are going to happen. It's going to be perhaps the most turbulent period for this planet, a turbulent period for this planet and the human race that we have seen basically since the fall of Atlantis 15 or 20,000 years ago.
It definitely looks like it's going in that direction, especially when you look at the sun, you know, the coronal mass ejections, the solar cycle 24 kicking up, the shields are down, you know, the magnetic fields are down. We're just getting bombarded with cosmic rays and other huge pulses from unknown sources. And we're getting moving right into galactic core, which is that alignment with the galactic core, which is a super energized place with huge gravity waves and things of that nature. So undoubtedly, I don't see how anybody could think that things are going to go on business as usual.
No, it is not going to be business as usual. My brother recently, one of my brothers recently remarked to me that it appeared to him that if events in the world in the last couple of years and the last few months amounted to the usual madness. And I assured him, oh no, it is not the so-called usual madness, and it is about to get a great deal less usual. That was before the problems with the reactors in Japan and before the earthquake, or I should say earthquakes. There have actually been hundreds of earthquakes there, not just the one. It was the one major shock, 9.0, and then just literally hundreds of smaller earthquakes, many of which have been sizable in their own right. And so that continues to go on. But I told him, no, it's not the usual madness, and you will shortly see that it is very unusual madness, because things are about to go real crazy. And the craziness will persist for easily 5, 10 years, maybe as much as 15 years or so. So my advice to people is do the best you can. Obviously, you'd want to store some food, some water, some emergency medical supplies. Those who have money might want to convert some of that into gold and silver coins, bullion coins right now. I know a lot of people don't have money right now, so if you don't have money, make the preparations that you can. I also have very little money, but make the preparations you can with the resources available to you. If you don't have money, but you have some land around your house in the form of a yard or something like that, plant a garden and start growing some of your own food. You might need it. There may be disruptions to food supply, and a garden may be a real lifesaver for you and your family. So we are moving into troubled times, and the situation in Japan is absolutely going to affect the world, not only in terms of radioactive fallout, but in terms of the economic ripple effects, which have already begun, because Japan is the third largest economy in the world, and Tokyo is one of the three major financial centers in the world, along with London and New York. So as Japan and Tokyo continue to experience problems of all sorts related to the earthquake, the tsunami, and this ongoing radioactive crisis at the nuclear reactors, the Japanese economy is going to be weakened. That will affect international trade and international markets. So we're only beginning the third week of this crisis today, James, and it will not go away. It will be the crisis that will keep on giving.
Yeah, definitely. It is going in that direction. I know they've had like over 700 quakes, like you're saying, that I think in the 5 to 6 range, and it's still ongoing. And I know some of the other islands over there, Jakarta and parts of India, Java, they've fallen up to 80 feet. It's amazing. They've actually dropped down up to 80 feet. So this is just the beginning of, I think, much bigger events, you know, more tsunamis, more big quakes. And if we don't get our act together and start shutting down these nuclear reactors that are sitting on these quakes, fault lines, that, you know, I think San Onofre and Diablo Canyon are sitting right on the same fault line Japan was. So California down there is sitting right in the same predicament. And, you know, we all know that
I would encourage people to go on your website to where you have the page for your radio show, and thank you for posting my link there. Scroll down beneath the photograph of me wearing a ceremonial feathered headdress, and you'll come to a link to my blog. You click on that, and it'll take you to my latest blog entry, in which I talk about this crisis in Japan. It's clear to me that it's intentional, that this was set up years ago with the full knowledge that there was a high probability that there would be a crisis with those nuclear reactors. The people we're dealing with are, I'll say it frankly, James, they're black magicians. They are dark, dark souls.
Mm-hmm. They've actually sold their soul. I don't think they have any left. That's what I always talk about politicians. You know, you tell one lie after another, you take a few bribes and things like that, and each time you do that, you lose a little piece of your soul, and by the time they rise to the top, they are soulless. You know, they are owned by these other forces, and it just gets uglier and uglier the higher you go.
Yeah, I agree. We don't create our souls. There is a universal creative process that I wouldn't claim to have created myself or my soul, but I agree with you. It is possible to kill your soul. We're given a soul, and it's a precious gift. The human soul is a precious thing beyond value, and I'm grateful to the universe for giving me my eternal, immortal, loving soul. I'm deeply grateful for that. But as you observe, it is possible to kill your soul. You can sell it away, kill it. And that's a sad thing beyond words.
Yeah, well, we're all grateful for the work that you've been doing and, you know, putting your life and liberty on the line and bringing this information out. And unfortunately, we're out of time, but again, we've got your blog there so people can get... What's the easiest way for people to get a hold of your books and any other materials you have?
Well, I have links right there on my blog. They can click to my blog, and the links are right there. They can click through to obtain my books and see a couple of my other blog entries if they want. So, as well as the two statements I issued related to my activities on the nuclear missile silo in North Dakota last year.
Great. Well, again, we're out of time, unfortunately. I think we could go on for about 3 or 4 hours. We'll have to get you back on the show, but I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Thank you, James. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right, take care. Well, we're out of time, folks. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening, and I think it's time to get off our butts and do something, even if it is to go down there and put some pressure on maybe closing down and checking out some of our own nuclear facilities, especially if they're sitting on a fault line getting ready to erupt. But hey, you know, that's just one of my funky ideas. So anyway, have a good evening, and you know, pay attention to what's happening around you. Good night.